it's been 2 months since the last time I shared the word of God. So, yeah. So what has happened these 2 months? My wife and I and my son, we spent about a month in Melbourne, Australia. Yeah. My daughter graduated. Hallelujah. Finally. 一个解决了,另外还有多一个还没有搞定。 But what did we do in Australia? You know, we spent about close to 4 weeks. Really blessed because, Melbourne can be really expensive, like, you know. So, but we managed to be able to stay in my daughter's studio apartment. So all four of us squeezed in that little apartment, all right? The studio apartment don't have separate room, okay? Don't have separate room. There's the kitchen, and then the bed is just right next to the kitchen. Yeah, but all of us squeezed inside there. And so it was squeezy, but we really enjoyed ourselves. Melbourne weather, it's really very unpredictable. It was supposed to be in summer in December, but certain days it was really cold, but certain days it was hot, right? 30 over degrees. So, yeah, but we're really blessed, like, you know, to be able to spend that time there. Amen? Amen? Anyway, it's good to be back once again. I'm glad to be able to share the word of God. I hope today the message will really bless your heart. Amen? Before we start, let us just pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you for this time that we can come into your house, Lord, to worship you, Lord, and also to be able to give our praises, Lord. Father, I pray, Father God, that even as we listen to your word today, Lord, Father, I pray that you speak to us, that you minister to us, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you give us more of the revelation of you, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that each time that we hear the word of God, Lord, that we get to know you in a better way, Father God. Lord, this journey, Father God, of discipleship, this journey of being a Christian, Father God, this journey of serving and following you, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that we get to know you closer, Lord, and better, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so, church, I really want to encourage you to attend the chapel. It's 6 to 8 a.m. every day. You know, what better way than to start your day, you know, to spend time in the presence of God, you know, that 1 hour just to spend time in his presence, Lord, will really make a difference for the rest of your day. Amen? You know, your situation might not change, right? But your vantage point, the way you approach things, your perspective will change when you spend time in the presence of God. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, church, this year, we'll be focusing a lot on the kingdom of God. And this will be a recurring theme throughout the year. And one integral part of the kingdom of God is discipleship. Now, why is discipleship important? Because it serves as a means by which we as Christians actively align our lives with God's principles. It involves learning from Him, living by faith, and actively participating in the work of transformation within His kingdom, contributing to the fulfillment of God's purpose and His salvation to the world. And so what does it truly mean to be a disciple of Christ? See, church, to be a disciple means to be a follower and a student of a teacher. You see, when Jesus walked this earth over 2,000 years ago, he called ordinary men and women, like you and me, to literally follow him, to walk in his ways, to learn from him, you know, learn from his words and learn from his deeds and carry on his ministry after he was gone. You see, the original disciples ate with Jesus. You know, they traveled with him, you know, from place to place. Observed the way he engaged people and tried to emulate him. However, a disciple is more than just an admirer or a convert. You know, it is someone who allows the teachings of Christ and the Holy Spirit to permeate every aspect of his life. It is a total and a complete reorientation of our priorities, our goals, our relationships, our habits, our character, and purpose to align with the kingdom of God. Thus, a person may consider himself to be a Christian and be an active member of the church, but that might not mean that he or she is a disciple. You know, at the core of being a disciple is the call to pursue spiritual transformation, to be more and more Christ-like. Now, this doesn't happen by accident, but through intentional practices and also community. It requires discipline. That's where we derive the word disciple. You see, when Jesus called his first disciples, he gave them a challenge. He said in Mark chapter 1, verse 7, "Come and follow me." You see, this was an active invitation and not a passive request. You see, he didn't use complicated words or hidden meanings, but a simple and direct invitation. He wanted his disciples to pattern their lives completely after his, to walk as he walked, to love as he loved, and to serve as he served. But here's the thing. Saying yes to this invitation comes with a real commitment. You know, there is a cost involved. Jesus was very upfront, you know, he didn't beat around the bush, you know, he was very direct, very upfront about it when he said in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, 28, he says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." See, very straightforward. If you cannot bear your cross and come after me, you cannot be my disciple. Discipleship, church, thus requires sacrifice. A willingness to surrender our own desires and ambitions for the sake of Christ. See, it is a radical commitment to put Him above everything else. In other words, being a follower of Jesus means being ready to make tough decisions and willing to face tough times in order to make Him the most important thing in our lives. This means that it is not going to be a smooth and easy journey. At times, it may require us to let go of our own plans and desires and dreams to make room for Jesus. But when we carry those challenges, we are reminded of how Jesus carried the cross. But in spite of all of this, church, it is a life worth living. Why? Because we serve a good and a faithful God. It is therefore, church, a privilege to be a disciple of Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, tell your neighbor, it is a privilege to be a disciple of Christ. So what does it really mean to be a disciple? What are the qualities and the things you need to be in order to be a follower of Christ? Firstly, a disciple walks in obedience and surrender. You see, at the core of being a disciple is doing what Jesus says. When Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, what it means is that if we really care about Him, we will do exactly what He tells us. You see, it is not just about following rules, but trusting that what He says, what He asks us to do, is the best way to live. So every day, we choose to follow Him, believing that His way is better. Now, how we live this out in our daily lives means sometimes choosing the narrow and more difficult way rather than the broad and the easier way. Now, this means being kind to others, even when it causes us more inconvenience and serves us no benefits. It means choosing honesty when the opposite would have been easier and given us more advantages. It means choosing to forgive, even though it was unfair to us and also hurtful to us. It means serving others first instead of our own needs and being generous with our time and also our possessions. And every day and every season, we make a decision to say, "Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done." And also that we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You know, sometimes meaning that we delay our own plans or if necessary, letting go of them completely to do the will of God the Father. No matter how much we desire it. You see, right now, some of you might be thinking, "Wow, does that mean that I have to give up my dreams and aspirations?" No, you don't. You see, let me tell you a little bit about God, yeah? You see that, I want to tell you about something about God, you know. You see, God seldom stops us from pursuing our dreams unless it is unlawful, sinful, or goes against His commandments. You see, in fact, God wants us to extend His kingdom and bring His glory to the world. Now, this means that we should thrive and prosper in every sphere of our lives. Now, what concerns him more is the how and at what cost it is to us. You see, Jesus conveyed this to His disciples when He told them in Matthew chapter 16, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, wealth, fame, and success, but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, Jesus understood that pursuing these things at the expense of our soul, which includes our health, our family, and our relationships, will bring more harm than good. So God is actually protecting us. You know, His desire is that we may thrive in all things and be in good health, just as our soul prospers. You see, you remember the second part of what Jesus said when He said, we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says that He follows that up with the verse that all things will be added to us. And so, church, when we do these things and take these actions, we're not just following rules, but living out the teachings of Jesus. Secondly, a disciple walks in humility and also servanthood. You know, when we look at how Jesus acted when He was here on earth, He did things like washing His disciples' feet and saying, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. You know, what He was saying was, I'm not here to be treated like a big boss or a big shot, but to use my life to serve. Now, this must not have been easy for Him, as He was, after all, the Son of God. In fact, Jesus was God, yet He obeyed. Thus, as disciples, we're asked to be humble also. We're asked to honor others. As difficult and counterintuitive it is to our human nature, where we want to be the focus, to be honored, and to be served. You know, it is not easy at all. But we can discipline ourselves to obey God's instructions. For a start, we can intentionally take more initiative without being asked, you know, in church, you know, take initiative to us being asked to help, to serve. We can learn to listen well when others share their thoughts by showing genuine interest rather than trying to impose our thoughts and seeking to prove that we are superior, smarter, and more correct. You know, a lot of us are very opinionated. I'm one of them. And for many years, I realized that when I'm talking to people, you know, I don't really listen to people, you know. But I'm processing in my mind, how can I prove that I'm better, I'm smarter, and I'm more correct? See, that was me, all right? So, one of the things that you can do in humility is to learn to listen well. You see, we learn to prioritize collective goals over our own personal aspirations or ambitions, which is not easy. We encourage and empower each other to grow. Humility means acknowledging others' strengths and sharing credit generously. You see, we celebrate other successes, which is not easy also. You know, especially when people are doing well and you are not doing that well, you know, it's very difficult to celebrate other people's successes. But we must do it, right? At the end of the day, it's not how you feel, but it is a what? It is a discipline. You can discipline your heart to celebrate other people's success. All right? Even though you feel terrible and feel bad, celebrate. Amen. Why? Because Jesus tells us to. And when someone fails, we choose to encourage rather than to criticize. And when we fail, we admit our mistakes and take responsibility without blame. Well, this one lagi more difficult. All right? Okay? But we learn to admit our mistakes and take responsibility without blame. Church, humility means opting for the more difficult path of being positive and supportive rather than the easier route of being negative and also critical. Why? Because it is easier to be negative and critical than it is to be positive and supportive. You see, humans, the human nature, naturally leans towards a negative bias. You see, negativity has a bigger impact on our thoughts and actions than the positive. This bias therefore makes it easier for us to focus on and think about the negative aspects of people and things rather than the positive. It thus requires intention and discipline to be a positive person. But of course, humility also means being able to accept criticism and use it as an opportunity for growth. This means acknowledging our imperfections and being open to constructive feedback, to develop and also to improve ourselves. And so, church, Jesus kept these things simple when talking about discipleship. You know, He kept things very simple when He talked about discipleship. In Matthew 22, he tells us in essence to love God and everything that we've got. In essence, to love God with everything that we have and treat others the way we want to be treated. Amen? Amen? Thirdly, a disciple meditates on God's word. A disciple must both understand and put into practice the teachings of their teacher. Otherwise, he cannot be called a disciple. All right? You know, we watch the old Jackie Chan movies. All right? Now, if you don't do what the teacher, the sifu, tell them to do, right, you cannot be called a disciple. Now, this can only be done if he studies and meditates on the teacher's words, allowing to shape his thinking, guide his actions, and deepen his relationship with the teacher. And this is what a disciple of Christ must do. But just having knowledge of the teacher's teachings alone is not enough. James chapter 1 verse 22 tells us, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't just listen, but do. Because if you do that, you are deceiving yourselves. Discipleship thus requires us to apply the teacher's teachings in our daily lives, living them out in every aspect of our lives. Now, how do we do that? One basic way is by starting our day by reading a passage from the Bible. You know, think about it throughout the day, letting it guide our thoughts and our actions and shaping our mindset. So if the Bible passage is about patience, we remind ourselves to be patient at all times and not lose our temper and our cool in challenging situations. You know, something I am still struggling to this day. And if it's about kindness, we make a conscious effort to be kind to those around us. When we need to make big decisions in our lives, you know, such as a career path, a relationship, or a partnership, we take a moment to reflect on what the Bible says. Whether it aligns with the kingdom of God and its principles. We let the word of God give us wisdom and guidance and let it influence our choices and also our decisions. Amen. Number four, a disciple embraces a life of prayer. You see, church, prayer is the heartbeat of being a disciple. It is the main way we talk to God, our Heavenly Father. You cannot be a disciple if you don't pray. Like I said, you cannot be a disciple if you don't study the Word of God. You also cannot be a disciple if you don't pray, if you don't talk to God. And Jesus gave his followers the model to pray when he gave us the Lord's Prayer, which says, Our Father who art in heaven. Why don't you read this with me, all right? Let's read this together, all right? What is the Lord's Prayer? Let's read it together. Our Father. Amen. Amen. You know, church, in this one prayer, we proclaim God's rightful place as a Father. We worship and praise Him for who He is and all that He has done. We acknowledge that it is His will and plans that are in control and not our own. We ask Him for things that we need. We confess our sins and repent and request His protection and help in overcoming sin and Satan's attacks on us. This one prayer guides us on how to talk to God with reverence, thankfulness, and how to depend on Him. And as disciples, we cannot just pray once in a while. As disciples, we cannot just pray once in a while. Only asking for His help when we are in an emergency. You see, church, prayer must become an underlying rhythm of our lives. It must permeate our whole existence, like breathing permeates our life. But church, as much as prayer is talking to God, we also got to learn to listen to God, to hear what He wants to say to us. John chapter 10 verse 27 says, My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And then I know them. And then they follow me. My sheep must hear my voice. And then I will know them. And then they follow me. And thus we must open our hearts to hear from God also. That is why a disciple practices silence and solitude. See, the essence of praying and meditating on God's word is to spend time in silence and solitude alone with God, avoiding the noises and the voices around us. See, a disciple makes this a habit and a spiritual discipline. Why? So that he will have a clear mind and heart to hear God's voice. Like I said, we cannot hear God when there are distractions. So that he can break free from negative thoughts that lead to negative actions. You see, only in quiet reflection can we have the space to reconsider our inner negative thoughts towards our situation. To have hope instead of despair. To have faith instead of worry. And it helps us to reconsider our negative attitudes towards people that we dislike or disagree with. And realize that maybe the problem is us and not them. You see, it is only in silence that you can rediscover all these things. That only God can speak to you. That George, you are the problem, not your wife. You are the problem, not that person that criticized you. That the problems that you have in your life is not because of others. It's you. You can only realize that in silence and solitude. In silence, we gain a right perspective on things from God's vantage point. And it frees us from the constant need to manage and to control everything and focuses our trust in God. So, church, a disciple does this often because he knows it is necessary for his life to change and become more Christ-like. A disciple spends time alone in silence and solitude to remind himself that God is always with him. That he may be alone, but he is never lonely. That he may have control, but God is ultimately in charge. Amen. Amen. Number 6, a disciple faces challenges and perseveres by faith. You see, discipleship does not exempt us from the trials and the tribulations of life. In fact, it is an essential part of the journey. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this. Jesus tells his disciples, "In the world, you will have tribulation." He did not say, "In this world, you maybe will have tribulation." He didn't put that maybe there, right? He says, "You will have tribulation. But take heart, be assured, be comforted that I have overcome the world." A disciple looks at challenges as opportunities for growth, for refinement, and a deepening reliance on God instead of looking at it as an obstacle in his life. He trusts God that his struggles are never wasted, but it contributes to shaping him into a stronger and a more resilient disciple. He knows that it is through these trials that he learns to trust God more deeply and depend on his strength. His faith is therefore not dependent, not anchored in good circumstances, but in the unchanging character of God. He trusts God in all things and at all times, instead of what he's going through. He walks by faith in God and not by his sight. A disciple participates in community and fellowship. Church, Discipleship is not a journey to be done alone, but meant to be lived out in the community. You know, in the book of Acts, we see the early believers devote themselves to fellowship, to breaking bread together, and sharing in one another's lives. And thus, as disciples, we are called to build and participate in a community that encourages, supports, and challenges us to grow in our faith. Proverbs 27, verse 17, captures the essence of Christian fellowship when it says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. You know, in a company of fellow disciples, we find accountability, encouragement, and also correction. And when we do that, the challenges of discipleship becomes more manageable, more bearable, and easier to navigate through. Why? Because the journey is not easy and cannot be done alone. When we share our lives with others who are walking the same path and striving for the same goal of becoming more like Christ, we can pray, encourage, and guide each other through that journey. You know, we can do that by supporting and praying for each other so that we can grow spiritually. You know, we learn from an experienced friend who can mentor and guide us, you know, in our career, in our marriage, and also in our business. Even simple things, you know, like helping each other stay healthy, you know, friends who encourage each other to work out and eat well, you know, like our Pastor Cindy, you know, who always gather people to go and play badminton, you know, do that in the community, all right? To encourage each other to stay healthy. I know Roseanne, you know, will drag a few people to go running in the morning, you know. I used to do that, but no more already, yeah. Tak boleh tahan already, all right? Okay? I know Samuel, you know, will get some of his friends to go play golf, all right? Friends studying together to understand difficult subjects and learning from each other. Couples helping each other in their marriage and relationship. You know, marriage is hard. Therefore, you need to help each other. You need to go to other couples who can help you through the struggles of your marriage. Parents supporting each other in raising their kids. Friends helping each other to overcome challenges and recover from setbacks. All these will help and disciple, will help us disciples to fulfill our calling and purpose in the kingdom of God. Lastly, a disciple bears fruits. You know, as disciples, our life should become a testament of the ongoing transformation of the Holy Spirit. With these fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control increasing and flourishing in us. In fact, they are the proof that the Holy Spirit is actively working in us and the evidence of a transformed life of a disciple. Now, this process of transformation involves the Holy Spirit shaping and molding us through all the things that we mentioned just now, you know, our obedience and surrender, our humility and servanthood. You know, it happens as we engage in prayer and study of the words of God in silence and in solitude. It shapes us when we challenge when we face challenges and we persevere with faith. Now, all these are possible only when we are engaged in a community that keeps us accountable, encourages us, and also corrects us, sharpening us to be more Christ-like in our thoughts, our actions, and also our attitudes. However, the call to discipleship goes beyond just our personal growth. It extends to the commission to make disciples of others. See, Jesus instructed his disciples in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is a command and instruction to every one of us. Nobody is exempted from it. Thus, discipleship, in its fullest sense, requires us to multiply. And failing to do so will be going against Jesus' instructions. We'll be disobeying Him. Remember, church, it is not just about our journey, but also helping others as they follow Christ. As disciples, we are called not only to bear the fruits of the Spirit, but also to sow seeds of discipleship in the lives of those around us. See, it is a cycle of growth. It is a continuous cycle of growth over centuries, where the Holy Spirit's transformation in us spreads to others, forming a community that lives by Christ's teachings. Amen. Amen. And so, church, as we come to a close today, you know, discipleship is not just a checklist of external rules, you know, a set of rules that you do and you follow, all right? But it is a journey rooted in the transformation of our hearts. And so today, I want to invite you to consider the depth of your commitment as a disciple of Christ, to take stock, to reconsider, to check, to move beyond outward obedience to one of genuine connection with God. You know, it's not just about following guidelines, but about experiencing a transformation in the very core of who you are, your desires, your attitudes, and also your motivations. I want you to imagine a discipleship that goes beyond just the surface, a journey that reflects the character and the conduct of Christ. Now, this transformation will not happen overnight, but a long and oftentimes challenging process. It requires us to be deliberate and also intentional. It requires our commitment and also our perseverance. It calls for us to cultivate a personal and intimate relationship with God, engaging ourselves in spiritual disciplines of prayer, of fasting, and meditating on God's Word, and allowing the teachings of Jesus to shape the very essence of our being, to let it transform us from the inside out, to change every aspect of our lives. And so as we come before God today, I challenge you. I challenge each and every one of you that's right here today and those of you that's watching online. I challenge you to respond to the call for a deeper level of discipleship, not just the surface level. It is an invitation to surrender your life, a life of obedience and a life of pursuing Him. A man that is after God's own heart. To let God mold your heart and guide your steps. Now, this call requires that you check your heart and ask yourself these questions. Are you prepared to commit daily to obeying God and surrendering your plans to His will? Will you embrace humility and commit to prioritizing serving others above your own needs? Are you willing to explore deeper the teachings of Jesus and incorporate them into your everyday life and also your choices? Will you make prayer a consistent practice, setting aside time alone in silence with God, in spite of all the important activities and commitments that vie for your time and also your attention? You know, coming to the chapel at 6 a.m. in the morning is making a commitment to set aside time for God. God, I start your day with putting you as a priority in my life. Will you discipline yourself to remove all the noises and the voices within you and around you, to spend time in silence alone with God, seeking Him, not just asking for things, but seeking Him, pursuing Him, listening to His voice, to know His will, and allowing His guidance to shape your life? and when challenges and trials come into your life? Will you choose to continue to trust, serve, and obey God no matter how tough things are? When God doesn't answer any of your prayers and instead everything is going in the opposite direction. Everything you pray for is go opposite direction. Walao, God, 你不要玩我咧, you know. When everything is going in the opposite direction, will you still place your complete trust in God's sovereignty and also His faithfulness? That you will choose to trust that God knows what He is doing. That He is faithful. That He has a plan for your life. Will you choose to look at your situation as opportunities for God to refine, transform, and grow you to be more like Christ? Instead of looking at it as an obstacle or as a hindrance in your life, will you take the occasion to deepen your relationship and dependence on Him and to grow in greater faith? Are you willing to commit your life to relationships that shape and sharpen your character? This is a very important question. Are you willing to commit your life to relationships that shape and sharpen your character? Now, this might require you to persevere in a relationship over marriage. To stick it out. Instead of taking the easier way, we break up. We divorce. It might require you to stick with an organization or a church through their ups and their downs. Learning to forgive their mistakes, the offenses caused to you and the hurts caused to you. Learning to embrace the discomfort of discipline and also correction. Persisting when you are unnoticed and underappreciated. But it builds your maturity and also it builds your character to a stage where finally no one else and nothing else but Jesus becomes your source of satisfaction and comfort, your identity and significance, security, and also your foundation. Until we come to that stage where Jesus is enough for me. Will you open your heart to allow the Holy Spirit to transform you, allowing the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control flourish in your life? So, church, if your answer is yes, and you say, I desire to be a more authentic disciple of Christ, I want to delve deeper and grow closer to God. I want to embrace more of Jesus' teachings and commit my life to follow and serve Him. I want the kingdom of God in me, and I want to live it out in my life. If that is you, if you feel the prompting in your heart, if you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that God is speaking to you today, that God is challenging you to not just be a surface level Christian, but be an authentic disciple of Christ. He's willing to go delve deeper. In a moment's time, as we stand to worship, I want you to come to the front so that come to the front. Not that so that I can pray for you. No, that's not the purpose. I want you to come to the front. I want you to come forward to pray and to ask God to transform your life and guide you and make you to be a more authentic disciple. It is not for me to lay hands on you, but it's your commitment to come to God and say, God, I want my life to be different. I want to change my life. I want to be a better disciple. I want to follow you closely from today to the rest of my life. It's your commitment to God to live your life differently from today onwards. Amen. Amen. Can I invite all of us to stand? You know, the song says us now, more of you, less of me. This must be the desire and a prayer and a commitment in every one of us. As a disciple of Christ, our daily prayer must be more of you, Lord Jesus, and less of me. And so as we sing this song in a moment's time, let this truly be the prayer and the cry of our hearts. Amen. Amen.